Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I am one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And we are back. Happy Tuesday, everyone, or whatever day you're listening to this on. We have a lot to cover in this minute, John, so I'm going to suggest we skip any kind of Atlanta weather and or baseball.
Any kind of pollen preamble. Or baseball or fucking 1-8, baby. Let's go.
Yep. Not a lot to talk about with the Braves. Really stink this year.
It is rough.
Anyways, okay, we did it anyway.
So yep, let's, there we go.
Let us
speed run it.
Yes. Let's get into it, man. We are here to talk about minutes 16 through 17 of Dune Part 2. Paul and Jessica and Baby, PB&J, are making their way through the crowd. And there's still people shouting at them, still guards looking contemplative, like I said, at the end of yesterday's episode. And let's figure out where the heck they go from here.
Alrighty.
Okay. So, yep. We actually don't spend a lot of time here. I think the camera cuts right away from this room quickly.
We spend a single second when all we hear is Lisan al-Gaib, and then we cut to a new scene.
Yep. Gotcha. Anyways, so this next scene that we're coming up on with Stilgar and the Elders, very important.
Yes.
Very, very, very important, important information here. So we cut to another room, a smaller chamber. Presumably right off the side.
A dome room. Yes.
Was the last dome room that we saw the Nexus?
I wouldn't really call the Nexus a dome.
Okay.
It's more of a cylinder.
Fair enough. Okay. So Stilgar is sitting with a group of elders, I would call them. And clearly, you know, doing his post-mission debrief.
Yep.
With the folks who are leading this, the group of Fremen here, the tribe.
Because they were late after all.
That's true. They got held up a little bit.
Yep.
The first thing that we hear Stilgar saying is, I need your guidance with the two foreigners. The first elder to speak is an older woman. I don't believe we get a name for her.
Now, I checked IMDb. I didn't see any names for either of the two elders that are speaking to Stilgar here, which is unfortunate.
It is. But the female elder who is speaking right now, she's played by Seema Rastami. And as best I can tell, this is her first role ever.
It's a pretty cool role.
Yeah, really good. She fucking killed it with this. But she is suggesting that they
get... Your first role, you're speaking a made-up language.
Yes.
Go.
Yep, exactly. Her suggestion on how to deal with the two foreigners is to kick their asses out, get them back out into the desert, let the planet do with them what it will.
Yeah.
Reasonable response, honestly, for someone who, you know, given all of the Fremen reticence towards outsiders, very reasonable response.
Sure.
Stilgar, being the believer that he is, explains that he saw signs, is what he just calls them right here.
Again.
Yeah. And fucking... sick burn. Yep. We get one of them just goes again. So I guess this has happened before. How many times? We don't know.
Yep.
But Stilgar is really looking like the boy who cried Mahdi.
How long have you been sitting on that joke?
I just wrote it when I was taking my notes.
Okay.
So... we have one of the other elders starts talking, and this guy's voice is deep as fuck, by the way.
Yeah. It's deep and gravelly and very, like, when you think village elder, that's the voice.
Yep. So this guy sounds like Leonard Nimoy in his older years.
Yeah, a little bit.
Now, I'll tell you how I got to that. When I heard this, my mind immediately went to, this guy sounds like the... person who voiced the king of Atlantis in Disney's Atlantis.
Yeah.
And I was like, they sound so much alike. And I was like, maybe this guy is the same guy who voiced that. That would be kind of cool. But then I went back and that was Leonard Nimoy who voiced that guy the king in Atlantis. And I was like, I didn't know that. That's really freaking cool.
Well, there you go. Learn something new.
Yep. This guy, whose name is Leon Herbert, which nice little, Nice little tie back to Frank Herbert, I guess.
You know, probably cool. Not.
No, probably not. But, you know, cool last name.
Probably no relationship at all.
No relationship at all, I'm sure. But, you know, whatever. In universe.
Nope.
He is a long, long time character actor. And his first IMDb listing was in Scanners.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. He's been around a little bit.
He's been around for a long time.
All right, cool.
Does a really good job here. What he says to Stilgar is, your faith is playing tricks on you. So really just accentuating the point that Stilgar has done this before. I feel like they have been in this exact conversation a number of times.
The boy who cries muddy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To start, really illustrating what Stilgar is seeing, he starts explaining the signs, and why don't you run us through those signs?
Well, real quick, the village elder, the man, says, Stilgar, your faith is playing tricks on you. And the woman immediately retorts with, Dalizan al-Ghaib has not shown his face yet.
Mm.
And then Stilgar's like, yeah, but he killed Jameis in a fair fight. Mm-hmm. He knows our language. He will quickly learn our ways.
Which are all things that someone who has a little bit of Bene Gesserit training could easily do.
Very easily. Could also just show up with his mom, too.
Yeah, right. So I took this as, you know, we talked a lot about in the last movie how the prophecies are vague enough
mm-hmm.
where anyone who knows about them can, you know, assimilate into this culture. But yeah, it just this conversation, I think, really proves the point that or goes to prove the point that the Missionaria Productiva is deeply embedded within their culture.
Oh, yeah. So much so that Stilgar then says, I'm willing to lay my life down for him.
Which is
quite a bit extreme.
Yeah, well, yes, it is. It is extreme. But
I'm willing to pledge my life for him.
Yeah, I took this as kind of a complete 180 from everything that we've seen so far from Stilgar and Paul's interactions. So far, Stilgar has been very aloof, mm-hmm. Very kept his distance. He's kept Paul at arm's length, but clearly underneath the surface, he's seeing these signs and drawing the connections to this Messiah figure.
I think the big changing point is where we ended the last minute, where other Fremen began recognizing Paul as Lizan al-Ghaib in front of Stilgar without Stilgar saying,
yeah,
here he is, Lizan al-Ghaib.
Fair enough.
Yeah. You know? So like maybe that's what that super pensive moment at the end of yesterday's minute was all about. As that like internal switch in Stilgar's brain.
Sure.
Yeah. Heart and soul doesn't say anything. So
I'll buy that. Yeah. That makes sense. And I forget who says it. I believe it's the female elder. She goes, the desert will decide his fate.
Yep.
Or is this the,
it's the woman, because then the man is like, what about the woman?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. And then a third older man, speaks up and says, well, what about the woman?
No, it's the character actor from Scanners.
I thought there were three that had,
no.
Right. One of them just laughs.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. That's right. Okay. Gotcha. Well, the person who laughs is either Joseph Charles or Vic Xander. I can't really decide who's who.
All right.
I don't think it is the other credited, elder of Yvonne Campbell. So one of the two. So what about the woman? What about the woman?
What about her? She is a Sayyidina, after all.
Yep. In name, if not officially.
Yep.
I think there's a ceremony that has to go along with it to be officially done that. But Stilgar seems to have battlefield promoted her into the position.
Well, a weirding woman that completely just dominates Stilgar in, I wouldn't call it combat, but definitely subdues him.
Oh, for sure. She bested him.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's enough for him to say, yeah, she's legit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we don't get to hear the rest of this conversation, because we cut immediately to a mess hall, pretty much just a little cafeteria. We get clinking and clattering of plates and cutlery and some idle chatter going on in the background. And, the camera cuts to Paul's face as the minute ends.
Yeah. Fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the same room in terms of like where it is in the siege. Same set though.
Okay.
Because Art and Soul of Dune gives us some information about this set.
Go for it.
The dome was introduced early in the creative process. And in the walls, we see it more in the scene with Paul and Jessica in this dome-shaped room than with the small council. But there are all these cutouts with 48 individual lights just kind of beaming light and everything directly into the dome to help kind of give it that lit up appearance. Whereas the small council is very dark. They just didn't have the lights and everything turned on in there. But yeah, it was one of the very first like early explorations of what Siege architecture would be like. And it evidently stuck with production well enough that they decided to just stick to that idea. And we see it in two different scenes here. So
good deal. Well, good use of the space. I'm assuming this is all, like you said, like one big room. They just film different parts of it to make it look like different rooms.
Save some money when you can.
Yep, absolutely.
Because you got to spend that money on giving everyone else blue eyes.
Cut, paste, cut, paste, cut, paste, cut, paste.
Yeah, Denis loved the idea because in terms of like the lanterns feeding light down into the room, Denis loved the idea because the simulated sunlight would make the seats warm and homey, and it made it more almost like a hive kind of feeling.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I definitely got that feeling.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about lights, can you give me a quick glow globe count?
Was there a glow globe?
No, there isn't one. Assholes. Yeah. We haven't gotten one yet.
I was like, am I blind? I didn't see one.
No glow globes yet. What the heck?
I know. We're going to get quite a few later, though.
I know.
But we're going to get some really fucking cool looking ones, too.
All right. So still zero glow globes.
I know.
So yeah, I believe all of this is either just cracks in the rock and natural light being funneled in.
I think that's what it's meant to.
Yeah. Which is a shame because in the books, I guess this is my only book note for this. Glow globes play a fairly large part in these scenes.
We need the sci-fi miniseries glow globes, which were really just
glow sticks. You know, you got to crack them open and shake them.
Well, no, I was going to say they're dust devils.
Glow tumbleweeds.
Not dust devils. What's the tumbleweeds? Yeah.
Glow tumbleweeds. Yeah, those are rad. I like those.
Can I get the Western? Woo.
Yeah, anything else from your Art and Soul notes?
Art and Soul's got some stuff that we're going to talk about tomorrow.
Okay.
We're going to talk about some cutlery.
Ooh, fun. We love a good place setting.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, as always, you can find us on all the socials that we say every episode, Blue Sky, YouTube, and email.
Yep. I'm Blue Sky. We are at Dune Minute. And you can email duneminute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us. We will be back with a Wednesday episode tomorrow.
All right, cool. See you then.
See you.